You are now inside Viscaro Archives. Please wear gloves to keep your greasy human hands from soiling the videotapes. And enjoy, enjoy, enjoy.
I'm gonna touch all the books I want.
Then you will be exterminated.
You only said that I can't touch the videotapes.
There are only VHS tapes in the Scotto archive.
Then why would you say you're gonna kill me for touching the books?
Cause you are a human.
He has you there.
Wait, but you welcomed me in.
Welcome and enjoy.
But die?
And die. Enjoy your extermination.
Thank you. Are you Davros? Who is I
that's
forgot.
Just no. He's just like the Dalek librarian who rolls
this
around.
Is just a Dalek.
He's just a Dalek. He's not like Davros is a guy. He's big head Dalek, but he's also just a dude.
Okay.
We're in a hurry. We've got 15 seconds to record this episode.
I forgot. Sorry.
And that's
the
episode.
That's pretty much it for sure.
Yeah, pretty
this
much
is season
it.
6, Serial 5, The Seeds of Death, Parts 3 and 4, still from 1969, still written by Brian Hales and Terrence Dix.
Starring,
still directed by Michael Ferguson.
Starring the actor mononymously known as Pretzel.
Pretzel. I keep forgetting about Pretzel.
Is he the second doctor? Or the third? I can't remember.
He's the second doctor.
Second doctor.
The third doctor looks like Manfred von Karma.
Yeah, the second doctor looks like Mo.
Actually don't think he looks like Manfred von Karma. There's one picture I've seen of him where he kind of does.
Is he the one that looks like he's about to welcome you into a world of pure imagination?
No, that's the eighth doctor, who is Willy Wonka.
Oh, he does kind of... I see why you think he looks like Manfred von Karma.
It's just one picture.
Just one picture, yeah.
Previously, they were flying to the moon base to deal with the disastrous TMAT system being dismantled.
Which only gets more disastrous this week, by the way.
We'll get there when we get there. And the homing beacon stopped working because Phipps fucked with it to make his booby trap work, and it did. But then they're going to crash. Oh, no.
But because it's a Doctor Who, cliffhanger, they resolve this in all of 3 to 4 seconds.
Yes, the cliffhanger has no bearing on anything that goes that happens after it. They're just like, oh no. Zoe says, we're gonna hit the sun in 5 months, and Jamie says, we only have food and water for 3 days, remember? And then they get in contact with the moon base, and Phipps is like, hold on, I'll give you the signal again, and then they land.
We saw the TMAT crew. Reminder of our friends, we have Fushim, who's a traitor to our human race.
Cowardly little bitch who was put in charge of the incredibly important moon base station by Osgood, who I guess must have had a touch of Earth madness at the time.
And then Kelly, who is the only person in the world who knows how the TMAT system works. So she's here fixing up the TMAT, completely blissfully unaware of the two ice warriors.
Who are, in fact, wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt and say they were watching them on a screen. No, the ice warriors are standing directly behind them.
What is your favorite thing about the ice warriors? Is it their little Lego hands, or is it the way that they wiggle and waggle and back and forth as they
walk? I like how fucking thick they
are. God, they got thick thighs. They got that Mewtwo girl thighs. God damn.
I think you may have said that last time, too.
I did, but I'm just still thinking about it.
We haven't stopped thinking about it this whole time.
And they go, they're, it's asthmatic, scaly, reptilian Mewtwo girl who go...
Oh, man, I'm getting the vapors.
I give me my inhaler.
Yes, mistress.
So the ice warriors who were there the whole time make their presence known by them turning and seeing them, because they weren't hiding.
Yeah. And Kelly also, she does fix the TMAT.
Yeah, that's good. It's funny later because, I guess it does take a couple days to get from the Earth to the Moon. So it has been a few days, but...
Well, this is sometime in the future. We're working with future rockets.
So it takes anything less than from, like, 3 days to 30 minutes.
I got the sense that it's been maybe a few hours since the start of episode one.
All of the food on Earth has been eaten.
Yes, the
cities have run out of food.
They realized the T-Mat was cut off, and they all started eating as fast as
they could. They had a big celebratory mukbang to celebrate the T-Mat's breaking.
If this is the last time we get to eat, I'm going all out, baby!
Let's eat the whole grocery store, boys!
Anyway. Wait, guys, what if they don't get the system back up? Then I'll go out with a mukbang!
Hell yeah, there you go.
I don't even know if that's how you say
it. Kelly's boys are like, they're trying to fight back. Fushim's being a little coward. All of Kelly's men.
It's so funny though, because the Ice Warrior guards are like, "You will serve us now." And then Fushim is like, "Don't try to run, they'll kill you." And then both of Kelly's like assistants, boys, bodyguards, whatever, they just immediately turn and run and die.
They get their insides scrambled by the beam.
The fallover beam.
Yeah.
On the rocket, because Phipps has told them about the aliens. They're out of contact with Phipps. They haven't landed yet. I got ahead of myself.
Yeah.
They're waiting until they get back in range. And Zoe's like, "What was those aliens he described?" And Jamie says, "They sound like the Ice Warriors."
He knows.
Yes, Zoe apparently is a more recent joinee of this lineup. Jamie and the Doctor have met them before. The Doctor explains that the Ice Warriors, why, they're from Mars. And Mars is a cold planet, which kinda they sucks. Love because they hate the heat.
How many times has this come up on our podcast? It feels like every episode the bad guys is like, they hate the heat. The Rutan hated the heat.
The Ice Warriors
hated the heat. And, I mean, once again...
Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
So do I. If you heat me up enough, I will die.
When you set a person on fire, do they like it, Doctor Who? No.
That was an interesting question.
That was what the Rutan was like. The Rutan does not enjoy being blown up by
They
by
hate
a flare.
Being blasted with explosives.
They hate being set on fire.
An odd genetic quirk of their species.
Very strange. So,
so they get back in range and they talk to Phipps. Oh, he thinks that the Ice Warriors are trying to escape from Mars because it's a dying planet and they want to get Earth and make it a cold planet for them to have parties on.
And an effort to make Earth a perfectly suitable, not dying planet for them, they're going to destroy Earth. So,
yep. With foam. With for a delightful slip and slide party.
They're going to floam the shit out of our... They're going to floam the Earth. You can floam anything, and they're going to floam our whole planet.
What was floam? I remember
floam
the name.
Was like you know how like slime is hot right now? I don't know if slime's still hot, but you know how like slime is hot? It was like slime with little foam beads and you could stick it on.
Right.
You could like make your shoes look really dumb, but nobody ever
did. Oh god, yeah, it was really tough and it would like dry out and get like hard and crackly. I hated that shit.
They were
actually.
They were like the commercials made it seem like you could and should floam your parents' car.
I think I just like played with some at like a store in a mall once. Yeah. I was like, this sucks.
This is a shitty toy. This sucks.
This is not as fun as the commercials on Nickelodeon made.
And then
it sound.
The Ice Warriors snuck up behind you and they took
And then
the,
they killed and they me and I you. Died. The end. Rest That's the peace. End of the episode because that just happened right now. I'm a child.
Yeah.
I really liked when they're like, "Phipps, can you get the homing beacon to go again?" And he's like, "Okay." And they lock onto it. And they all get in landing position as they fire the retro rockets, and they're all like, but you can clearly see that the little map that Kelly gave the Doctor is just sitting on the console perfectly still.
So here was my joke I came up with was, I mean, that's not a, it's not a, it's just a label for the whole rocket, because this is the 1960s. It is a retro rocket.
Nice. Hell yeah.
And just for like a second of extra... peril, I guess. Phipps blasts, or he turns the transmitter off again. Does he try to blast another ice?
No. It like runs out of power. He's saying like it's almost out of power. It might break, and it breaks like as they're about to land.
But then they immediately fix it and they land safely. So
matter. The Doctor's like, "There's no time to get back into orbit. I have to land this thing myself."
This wasn't even like a clear commercial break zone or something. I don't even know if there were commercial breaks for the show because I think this was on BBC, right?
I don't know, but
it was just like, why is the show like this sometimes? Where it's just like, we'll never make it. It's like that joke from Flight of the Conchords. We'll never make it. Oh no, we made it. Yay!
Yeah, he's like, I'll have to land this thing myself, and then Fix fips the transmitter, and they lock onto it again, and then they land. It's like, ah, okay, cool.
Speaking of Fips Fix It, do you know that I was, my entire life, I mean, it was only until today that I got the joke of Sneed's Feed and Seed, formerly Chuck's.
Oh yeah, that's a class. I mean, I didn't get it as a kid. You're not supposed to. Well, not as a kid,
but I always assumed that it was
just like
a little...
For anyone who's not familiar, this is a fairly old Simpsons joke where they go to a general store out in the sticks, and it says on the sign, Sneed's Feed and Seed, formerly Chuck's.
I always just thought the joke was that it was just funny that he was chucking feed and seed, but the joke is that it's if the name rhymed like Sneed's Feed and Seed, it would be Chuck's Fucking Suck.
I don't know why that's what it would be, but I get the joke there.
That's apparently what the joke... It's not one of the best Simpsons jokes.
It's, frankly, people really like to talk about it because it's like, I kind of can't believe that they got this on TV, but the joke is also not really that good.
It's not a very good joke. It's very, like, you have to really extrapolate it from your brain.
And then when you get there, you're like, oh like swearing. Got it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they land in a big bowl, and everyone pretends to get thrown around.
Whoa, it's this classic spaceship acting.
And so the doctor says, I'm going to go look for Fips. You stay behind and take care of the rocket, refuel it and such. He says, the good thing Kelly and Radner gave me this map. And Zoe is like, okay. This was weird, because I assumed that this was setting up for something, but it's not. Where Zoe's like, okay, Jamie, you keep an eye on the fuel gauge, and don't forget to switch it off once the rocket is full. And he's like, yeah, I get it. And I was he's going to fuck up and something's going to go wrong, but then he doesn't.
I saw a
tweet. So that's really just Zoe being mean to Jamie for no reason.
I saw a tweet the other day of a person who was trying to put gas in his boat, and I guess he just missed the gas nozzle and just spent like 20 minutes dumping gasoline onto the ground without noticing and spent like $500 or whatever on fuel that he had just wasted.
Oh, I need to fill my boat with gas. And he just starts dumping gas inside the boat.
I mean, basically that's what this guy did. So that's what I think Zoe was trying to keep Jamie from doing. And listen,
I went to a gas station, and I don't know if I've mentioned this on a podcast, maybe I have, but I put my credit card in, and I had the gas, and I was about to put it into the car hole, and it just started pouring gas out. I didn't even, like, touch the pump handler. It just started pouring gas out. It was fucking
terrifying.
You were
having a little Zoolander gasoline fight.
Well, I did. I mean, I was like, I might as well make the most of it.
Might as well have some fun.
Yeah. So I just started throwing it at the nearby other customers.
Zoe leaves.
And we had a really good laugh.
It was cool. And then someone lit a cigarette and you died.
It was a really good day, actually.
Zoe leaves Jamie
behind. I had
Jamie
my first
behind.
Cigarette.
Zoe leaves Jamie behind in the rocket. It will never.
Yeah,
because
she's going to check for damage. I didn't know what this moment was where he's like, what does it matter? We already landed. And she's like, it's not the landing I'm worried about. It's the takeoff. And they play a dramatic music sting.
But the whole thing was that they were going to go up there to fix the TMAT system. So once they fix it, they don't have to take a return trip.
Is the idea that she's playing? I was like, is she planning on like abandoning the doctor? Like, but it doesn't come up again. So that's fine. So Fushim tells the Ice Warriors that the TMAT is all fixed up, and they say, great, we're gonna win.
We win.
So that's that scene.
Yep, that's it. Now, the Doctor finds Fips, Robert Fripp, in the solar power room, right?
Yeah,
And
I was hoping we wouldn't go back to Robert Fripp, but here we are.
Yeah, well, you know. It's
now that I do know what his name actually is.
His name is Fips. It's a bad name. It's not a good name.
It's fine.
It's a bad name. The Doctor has decided that the only solution to stop the Iceman is to destroy the TMAT system.
Which, I have to say, that feels really hasty, considering that he's like, oh yeah, I've dealt with the Ice Warriors before, I know that they hate heat.
Just make
anyway,
them hot.
We should probably destroy the system that everyone on Earth relies on.
The one that we find out, it being down for 30 minutes, means nobody has food anymore. Does that mean there's no grocery stores or anything anymore? Do they just team out the food directly to their mouth?
That's what I had. I had this in my notes later when it comes up, but I was like, this makes it sound like they do not have food. They only eat food. Like, it's like farm to T-Mat to table. Everything.
No, it's not even to table. It's T-Mat to stomach. You T-Mat directly.
You don't even eat it.
It's Cinco food tube technology. You just press the button and you're full and you go, ah, that was efficient.
The farmers beat the shit out of the crops with a hammer and T-Mat it into your stomach.
They pick it, they blend it, and it gets team added right into your belly.
You're just standing there and you just hear beep boop, and you're like, oh, I'm full.
You don't even get to decide when your meal happens. It happens at precisely 11:30 every day.
You just hear a booming computer voice go, "Enjoy your meal.
Time to eat. Today's menu is a delicious spaghetti bolognese and a side of cornbread. Enjoy." And then you just. And then you're full.
Wait, my stomach hurts for unrelated reasons. Oh!
If you are lactose intolerant, take your lactaid now. Oh god! Oh
now
shit!
Now beaming lactaid into your stomach.
This is a great world. I want to live in this world.
God, I wish. God, I wish this was real. So the doctor, he says we're going to destroy the T-Mat, and he goes back to the rocket and he tells them his plan. And he's like, so make sure the rocket is ready for takeoff. Bye. And then Zoe comes back and Jamie's like, oh, yeah, he's going to destroy the T-Mat. And Zoe's like, wait, the motors are busted. We can't take off with this rocket.
We need lots of gold. But it's the only way.
But the doctor, well, he's already gone and they can't get him on the radio. So they're like, ah, shit, we have to stop him before he destroys the T-Mat. Hey, the good news is. That plan never comes to fruition.
It never comes up again. I mean, the next part of the episode is just an extended sequence of... It's basically Scooby-Doo. It's basically
it really is.
It's just people running back and forth from the Ice Warriors and...
Running around in the Hall of Mirrors that they have
Why
on the
is there
moon
a
base?
Hall of Mirrors? I'm glad you wrote that down,
you know,
too.
It can be very stressful. Sometimes you get space madness working up here on the moon. You just need to unwind with a quick break in the Hall of Mirrors.
One thing I know from media, you know, you read Killing Joke by Alan Moore, and the Hall of Mirrors is a very stabilizing, calming place, for sure. It's just, you go in there, you zen out, you listen to your Tibetan drones, and... You feel a lot better.
I think that's how Jared Leto got in character for Suicide Squad.
He just hung out in the Hall of Mirrors for a while, probably. So, unfortunately for the Doctor, he does get got by the Iceman. And this is like a top Doctor pathetic moments scene to me.
It's really funny considering that we've seen two Capaldi episodes, and in both episodes he's like, I like getting caught because then I get everything that I want.
This is character.
This doctor's like,
don't
oh,
kill
fuck.
Me. I'm a genius.
Please,
I'm a
very
genius.
Smart. This is fun though. I like we're seeing he's a bit of a bumbler.
He goes, hey Mo, what are you doing?
He's a bit of a stooge.
He's a bit
also,
of a,
when he
yeah.
says he's like, wait, don't kill me, I'm a genius, they just go,
genius. He will help us solve our math homework.
Also, I don't know if you mentioned that in the Scooby-Doo sequence, Kelly escapes and meets up with Phipps, and they escape together. There's a part where the Doctor, he runs away, which is kind of surprising that this works, considering all we've seen the Ice Warriors do is kill people who are trying to run away.
Mm-hmm.
But the Doctor, like, turns around and runs back and, like, kind of just pushes the Ice Warrior around a little bit and then runs away again.
He does a fucking CQC judo takedown. I was really impressed by it.
I was trying to figure out, I was like, did he, like, steal its gun? I don't think he did. I think he literally was just like, ah, take that.
He was doing a little Three Stooges. He was going,
also,
hey,
they're playing,
what?
Like, 60s dark wave circus music the whole time. Very... Very, very weird.
So we get a lot of, we get like more, a lot of scenes of like the, cause the Doctor is captured, and Zoe and Jamie are doing like Hyrule Castle sneak arounds.
Yeah, I have to say, by the way, they really made me think that Zoe was smart last week. Zoe is a fucking idiot.
They're all fucking idiots.
Zoe and Jamie, they're like looking for the doctor, and he's like, ugh, women are always getting lost in the team at Moonbase while looking for the doctor and trying to avoid the ice warriors who are attacking them. And then they like hide around a corner. And fortunately, the Ice Warriors have very bad peripheral vision, because this is like the eighth time that we see an Ice Warrior just walk right past somebody who's like pressed up against a wall and not notice them.
This is not the scene where a character is turning a big dial and looking to Kelly for approval, right?
No, that's later. Hmm. But the Ice Warrior like walks ahead and gets like 3 feet away from them, and then Zoe's like, the Ice Warriors, and it's just like, I'm going to kill you now. I hear you whispering. You're standing right behind me. Now, and they're like, oh,
listen,
shit.
Listen. Some anatomical flaws over the Ice Warriors. Number one, they can't see peripherally because they have big, stupid helmets on.
They do have
Well, they can't hear over their stupid breathing. And they can't chase guys around very good because they got those big Mewtwo lady thighs.
You, by the way, you compared their hands to Lego guy hands, Lego which hands. Is absolutely true. But also, they have Lego guy arms because they always keep their arms just like elbows bent, extended ahead. Just
when they walk, yeah, they walk like Lego. I mean, Lego Star Wars.
They walk like a stop animated Lego guy.
Maybe that's how they. Maybe that's how they were made. Who knows?
Stop motion. Stop animated.
I paint a mural of Yoda holding a big stop sign that says stop animation, and they say, this is really beautiful, this is very powerful. Have you ever seen the Stop Wars mural, Sam?
No, I was going to say, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a fucking...
I think I get it, though, from what you've said. It sounds very deep.
It's very, very powerful. So now we get... So last week I said,
Oh, by the way, they escape from the Ice Warrior. They're fine.
It's easy to do. Last week I said, what in the world is the Seeds of Death? But this is where we finally get to know that they're balloons.
Yeah, they're balloons full of fart gas. And the Ice Warrior leader, he orders Fushim to dispatch a certain cargo to some of the biggest cities on Earth. And we get a list that I'm not going to bother repeating because it'll come up later. And they drag the doctor in meanwhile. They keep calling him a human, by the way, and he doesn't ever correct them.
I know.
I'm like, surely he was always a Time Lord, right? There's no way we're going to find out that, like, post-regeneration they decided he wasn't human. Right?
I think he just didn't correct them.
But
he just didn't correct them.
So he's being... I love him in this scene. He's being very coy because the...
No. That's the Fifth Doctor is McCoy.
Ha ha ha. No.
Yes.
That's the Seventh.
Sylvester McCoy?
Yes.
Are you sure? You're right.
The Fifth Doctor is the blonde man.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I mixed up their names. Yeah, he's my...
Fake
yeah, so,
fan.
Fuck, shit, damn it. Oh,
he's
no.
He's being very coy, though. The Ice Warrior is like, how did you get here with no T-Mat? And he's like, ooh, well, I don't know. And he's like, did you take a rocket? And he's like, maybe, and I a stinker. And the leader is like... Okay, well, there's no way you took a rocket, so you must have been hiding here the whole time.
Did I make this up that Fushim was like, there are no rockets, they got rid of them all years ago?
I mean, that was definitely said last week, but
another character this week says that there are no more rockets.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a fact of the world.
Yeah.
And the Ice Warriors know it. They're like, you can't have gotten up here, there's no rockets. And the doctor's like, well, that's what you think, but you have no way of knowing for sure that there's not a fleet of military rockets on their way here to kill you. And then the Ice Warrior leader is like, no way, dude. I know that the humans on Earth are dumb as fuck. They love this T-Mat more than anything else. There's no way there's any rockets left. And the doctor's like, shit.
Is this when we see them carrying the balloon?
Yes. We hear that the Grand Marshal of the Ice Warriors, who we don't see...
Grace.
Don't look at my notes where I did accidentally spell it, like, the name Marshal.
I mix that up all the time, too. It's fine.
The Grand Marshal has ordered them to prepare the seeds, and they bring in this weird plastic box, And then Fushim is like, I'm scared of them. And the doctor's like, well, I'll make you help me. And Fushim's like, please don't.
All of our other characters are regrouped, so that's Kelly and Phipps and Zoe and Jamie. They're all going to help figure out what to do with the doctor.
Phipps,
Zoe,
by the way, is like, the Ice Warriors don't know about the solar whatever room that we're in.
The solar room, by the way, which has like a translucent mesh door that you can
and
see
it's,
through.
And it's labeled.
It's labeled.
I don't know why he's like, they don't know about this room. No, one of them tried to come into the room and you killed him. They definitely know the room is there.
And Zoe's like, well, what if we... they can't stand the heat. Well, what if we turn the heat up? And then Phipps, and this got a real kick out of me, Sam, is like, oh, well, why don't we go through the maintenance tunnels and get the turn the heat up? It's in the central room where all of the Ice Warriors are. Unfortunately, on our all-important moon base that controls the logistics and shipping systems of the entire world, our all-important maintenance ducts have not been used in years and are rusted shut. Because you wouldn't want to be able to access... You wouldn't want to be able to maintain your incredibly important moon base, yeah?
I'm noticing that Doctor Who really likes it when there's aliens that the guys on the incredibly important space station need to kill, and they need to get through the maintenance hatch, but there's something that keeps them from going into the maintenance hatch and getting to the room where they push the button that kills all the aliens.
There's always usually a button that you push to kill all the aliens.
This is very, very similar to the plot of Satan Pit.
Mm-hmm. But they don't, there is no Satan Pit.
That's the only difference.
Yeah, there's no Satan Pit in this one. There's no PS2.
Normally anything that needs to get through the maintenance tunnels, they just team at it wherever it's going.
It's so easy.
So the doctor though, he convinces Fushim. He's like, look, if you don't help me, I'm still going to do my plan anyway, and I'll get caught and then they'll kill both of us. So you might as well help me. And Fushim's like, fuck, okay, you got me there.
The doctor is trying to get to the balloon pot, the seed, and then, what, he gets caught? Is that right?
Yeah, this was really stupid and fucking pointless.
The whole thing
because
is stupid.
His plan is like, okay, Fushim, you make the guard look that way while I look at the seed pod box that I don't know what's in it yet. Sorry, my bad. And then Fushim's like, okay, and he's like, look over here, guard. And then the doctor walks over to the box, and then another ice warrior just sees him and is like, hey, what the fuck are you doing?
Anyways, the balloon that is the seed of death, the balloon inflates.
Yes, the box is full of seed pods that are balloons, and when they explode, they fill the air with fart gas, and then the doctor chokes and collapses.
But he's not dead.
He's not dead.
I think he should
really, I really thought he was dead.
We know that when you breathe in the gas, you die, so I feel like he should be regenerating right now, and we should get Manfred von Karma for the rest of this episode.
Well, he's got five lungs or whatever. Mm-hmm. Zoe, meanwhile, back to the subject of Zoe being a fucking idiot, she hears a noise in the hallway, which is obviously an ice warrior, because what else would it be? And she's like, oh, I wonder if that's an ice warrior. And she opens the door and just... And Kelly's like, be careful, and she's like, got it. And then she just pokes her head all the way out and sees the ice warrior looking right at her, and she's like, oh, it's an ice warrior. I don't think he saw me, though.
But they bar the door shut.
But it did, and it walks right over there.
With a big bendy rubber bar. And then they're going to try to reconnect the kill you machine.
And they do.
And they do.
And then the ice warrior stumbles in right into the middle of the room and they kill it.
They're so easy to kill.
This is really easy.
All you gotta do is shine a light bulb at them and they die.
They literally could just keep doing this. Just be like, alright, well, that's two down. Hey, we're in here.
What are you doing in there? Ah!
They're gonna take out the ice warriors the same way I played like Metal Gear Solid 5. I just let a big pile of bodies stack up and they see the body and they go, huh? What's that? And then they walk over and I just shoot them in the head with a tranquilizer dart. And then the next guy comes over. Huh? What's that?
Except they don't even leave bodies. This is high chaos dishonored, if anything.
Yeah, they have the, they're using the rat plague.
So yeah, they kill the ice warrior. That was easy.
They're going to send the balloon. They're going to, the ice warrior is like, send the seed to London. Which, I don't know why, but something about the Ice Warriors knowing the names of all the major cities, was it just tickled me a little bit. But
you know what tickled me is the, we go to Team at HQ where the deep computer voice is giving a status report, and it's way too long, and it is, I quote, "Emergency transport systems now in operation. However, situation still extremely critical in most parts of the world. Primitive areas surviving best, but all major cities now suffering severe food shortages."
What happened? What happened? It's because they didn't get their 12 p.m. stomach fill.
They were living in a utopia 4 hours ago, and now everyone is starving to death.
Why'd they eat all the food? Like, so, last episode, it was like, people are not getting important medication and organ transplants. But now it's like they have no food?
This is terrible. We normally TMAT people's blood throughout their body.
We TMAT neurotransmitters from their glands to their brains.
Their hearts forgot how to make the blood flow because they got so used to the TMAT doing it for them.
The hearts didn't forget. They just shut the hearts off.
We don't need, we don't need the hearts.
We destroyed human hearts.
We killed the astronauts and the heart doctors.
We destroyed cardiologists, hearts years ago.
Oh my god. So Fushim beams the seed into the TMAT cubicle. Radner is like, oh good, Kelly fixed the cubicle. Hey, what's that thing? Brent from part one and also two... he walks over and he's like, it's alive, as it inflates, and that's the end of part three. And then at the beginning of part four, it explodes and he dies.
Rest in peace.
This fucking killed me though, because it puts a cloud of fart gas into the air. And
put it outside! Put it outside now!
And Brent falls over dead, and Radner and Eldred... the museum man, I don't remember if we mentioned him yet this episode, but Commander Radner and museum man Eldred, they back away, but not that much. Like, they're still standing in the cloud. It's a big room, and they're just standing in the cloud coughing. And then Radner is like, turn the air conditioning to expel mode, and the guy just runs directly face first through the cloud of death gas.
He held
to
his
do
breath.
So.
He held his breath while he was doing it.
I would just walk around.
It's very, very, very close.
It
contact.
Has not filled the room by any means.
You need to breathe it in directly in incredibly high concentrations for it to do anything.
Well, then, good news. It doesn't matter that they push all the gas out into the air.
Yeah, you think it wouldn't matter.
I don't know. I was a little on the fact that Eldred is like, you just spread the smoke out into the air of London. And it's like, yeah, but I mean, that's a lot of air.
Have you seen the Nile Red video where he makes a?
I did see the one where he made the fucking stink chemical,
thioacetone.
Yeah,
and he said that it gets worse the more you dilute it. It just makes it smell even worse.
Yeah, and then he sends his friend to experience. He's like, hey, can you walk over there? And his friend's like, please don't make me. And he's like, no, just go. It's fine.
Anyway, that's what they just did. They put the stinky smell outside for everybody to have.
They send more seeds out. They send one to Ottawa, Oslo, to Hamburg.
Which is a nice place, and our friends live there.
Great. And... So what happens? Oh, Zoe and Kelly are setting up the booby trap for a third one.
This is the part where fucking Kelly or whatever Jamie is like turning the big dial set to kill Ice Warriors and looking back for approval.
Yeah. So they set up the booby trap in case they need to kill a third guy with it incredibly
easily.
Which,
by the way, one of the things they need to do to set up the booby trap is screw a light bulb into the little radar dish.
It's that easy, folks. Jamie and Phipps, they go into the tunnels. They're on their way to the main control room. And Zoe's like, you know, the main control room, that's where all the Ice Warriors are. And the music's like, bum, bum. And I'm like, no, I know.
Just
sorry, did we not think about that when we were making this plan?
You just throw
they're just like, I don't know, we'll figure it out.
Throw a rock and they'll look the other way and then sneak back and turn the ship's captain wheel, the helm of this.
They'll throw down a Mewtwo-shaped porno mag.
They're gonna do the little chicken dance.
So, Fushim sends another one to Paris.
He is killing everyone.
Are like, this is not good.
Fushim is such a fuck because, like, he doesn't seem to think about. I mean, obviously they're sending things to Earth. What does he think he's doing there?
I mean, he knows what they do. He just watched the Doctor seemingly get killed by
does
one of them.
Does he think that he's going? All right, we'll honor our agreement. You can be the last human.
Well, you say that. There was a part toward the beginning of episode 3 where the Ice Warriors leader literally said, as long as you're useful to us, we'll keep you alive. And he's like, but sick.
Once he kills all the humans, is he useful to them anymore? No.
Sure.
What do they need him to do?
He's their mascot.
He's going to be at all their sports games.
He'll be Jingle Bell. He'll be their jester who jumps around and does hacky sack with his big fat ass.
He just does it. He's the mushroom.
Sorry. That's Butterbumps. I'm sorry.
What are you talking about?
A Song of Ice and Fire.
Okay.
Butterbumps is the Tyrell family jester, and he's a fucking badass, and he rules.
Right. I'm thinking of Mushroom, who's the Targaryen. He's one of the two first... What are we doing? Who gives a shit?
I love that we are referencing different jesters from A Song of Ice and Fire.
There's Jingle Bell. Well, the best one is Patchface, who's like, speaks with the voice of a...
No, fuck Patchface.
Patchface is fucking sick, dude. I love Patchface. He's awesome.
Boo! Patchface. Your song doesn't even slap.
Mushroom is the best one, though.
I know. It's on the water. I know. That's Patchface. That's your fave.
I know. He is my fave because he's, like, fucked up. He's, like, the drowned god or something.
Oh, my God. I love the twisted jester. Is it not simply enough for a man to play hacky sack with his ass?
No, I like Mushroom because he's a primary source for one of the most important conflicts that shaped the world.
Is this House of the Dragon War?
That's Fire and Blood. The small man with the giant penis was suspiciously absent from the HBO TV show. I don't know where
he couldn't
was.
Get a
we're,
prosthetic to
we're
make
waiting,
a penis
we're
look
waiting,
so much like a mushroom.
The mushroom hive is waiting patiently for him to show up in season 2. Anyways, this has been Jester Watch. I hope you jongler heads were enjoying yourselves.
Anyway.
Our next podcast is going to be the Jester Podcast.
Anyway. So Radner gets a status report from the TMAT office in New York. It's the 16th city so far that has received a seed and one or two people died. And I'm thinking the same thing as Eldred. Is their plan just to kill a few stray TMAT technicians across the planet? Because that's all they're doing.
No, because when we see later, they look outside and it's foamed up.
Yes, it does. We do find out that it's getting foamed up. And they get the autopsy report back from Brent. I like how the TMAT office has a fucking coroner on deck.
Well, you know, people in the TMAT office
We didn't mention this part of Travel Mad is that people who work on it are constantly dying.
Yeah, they constantly get space madness and die.
So they say he died of oxygen starvation, but Eldred's like, that can't be right. That takes like 3 to 4 minutes usually. But the smoke must have had some kind of toxic component. Hopefully it doesn't fuck everything up now that we punted it outside. And then we see a nasty blob glooping around on the ground outside. And we go, gross.
Uh-oh. Yuckaroo. It's a rootin'.
Gross.
Just Leela pops in and throws a knife at it and rags and gloats over its dying body.
Hell yeah. Fushim sends out the last seed for now, and then he goes to check on the doctor. He is still breathing, but he's unconscious. Mm-hmm. And the leader of the Ice Warriors is like, well, that's weird. Here, you know it would be delicious for no reason.
What if you send him out into the vacuum of space?
Use the TMAT to send him out into space. I don't know why he's so set on this when we know that there's like an airlock right next to them that they could just throw him out of.
They have guns. They have super melting guns.
But he really, really specifically wants the Doctor to be blasted out into space with the TMAT.
And also, Fushim is like, but I could never kill a man. And it's like, you've killed all the men and women.
I thought I was sending them gifts.
I thought they were funny balloons.
Yeah, the Ice Warrior is like... You're getting really fixated on your conscience, considering you just killed your entire species with those seeds. And Fushim's like, wait, what? But he says it doesn't matter whether he wants to or not. he can't, because the T-Mac cubicle can only transmit to other cubicles. And the Ice Warrior's like, can you reprogram it? And he's like, well, yeah. And he's like, well, then do that. He really wants to teleport the Doctor into space.
He's like,
and the reason for that is because if he didn't want to do it that way, no way the Doctor would get out of this alive. Because what ultimately happens is that Fushim pretends to send him into space and just sends him somewhere else.
Easy.
Good thing they didn't just shoot him dead on the ground.
Right. Meanwhile,
the way that they've killed every other character they've killed.
Meanwhile, we get a scene of Jamie and Phipps trying to unscrew the screws of a grate, which reminded me deeply of a fan fiction that we read one time, where Kyle and Jesse spend a very long time telepathically unscrewing and levitating screws. Oh my god.
Oh man, that was the same fanfic where Kyle XY got really into raw food.
And he got a superpower where, where regular food tastes like shit. That was a great fanfic.
Anyway, I like that this is the second scene in two parts where they've been struggling to get a rusty grate open.
And they can't get through the grate, by the way, because they're too big.
That's later. What happens first is Fushim is like, okay, I have completed the modifications, but please don't make me do this. And they're like, do it. And he's like, okay. And he flips the switch. The Doctor disappears and he's like, you've killed him. You've killed him. But we'll find out later that he actually teleported him to the solar whatever room where the others are. We don't see them finding the Doctor, which is a shame because I would have loved to see them just standing there, like, waiting for something to happen, and then the Doctor just appears and they're like, what the
fuck? And remember that the Transmat technology does not have any
travel
sort
mat.
Of... Travelmat technology does not have any sort of, like, it just appears, so the Doctor...
They just stop the camera and the actor gets out of the booth.
they trip over the Doctor because he just appears out of thin air.
The Ice Warrior leader he tells one of the other warriors, he's like, it is time for your part of the plan. Don't mess this up, because this is the most important part of all.
It's the part they send him to walk around outside.
We still don't really know what he's doing, but they send him to London.
They send him to the London team.
More on
facility.
That in a little bit.
Yeah.
This is where Phipps is like, Jamie, go back and find the Doctor. I don't know why he's so sure that the Doctor is still inside the building, but he is.
And this is where we see the heating controls, and I'm not kidding when I say it looks like a ship's helm.
It looks like a ship's wheel.
It's a big ship's wheel, like way too high up on the wall, and it has three signs. One says heat up, one says heat down, and the other one just says heating control.
Cold. Kill you. Also, we get a close eye on the gauge later. It is currently set to 30 Celsius or 86 Fahrenheit.
Very hot.
If I would feel like the Ice Warriors, maybe the first thing they would have done is turn it down.
Is this why people keep having space madness? They get onto the spaceship and it's 86 degrees in there and they're just like, Jesus fuck.
Well, we all have our own standards on what very hot is. Maybe they actually aren't that averse to heat by our standards.
Yeah.
So then the leader's like, yeah, put him in the thing and send him to Earth. And Fushim's like, but you just made me reprogram it to go to space.
By the way, he's able to reprogram these things very quickly.
Considering how shit he was at his job in the first couple parts,
he's learned under pressure.
I guess so.
We see another shot of the bubbles bubblingly.
And the computer tells them that even more TMAT staff have been confirmed to have died.
Yeah, this is where we find out what is going on, and it's that there's some kind of fungal blight.
It's the happening. The plants are rising up.
Yeah, the vegetable blight is like crops are dying and people are... starving.
Well, no, the vegetable blight is attacking people in parks and gardens.
Yeah, but then they say that the blight is killing the crops and the food.
It's killing the crops, but also there's, like, plants, like, whipping people with vines and killing them.
I don't think the plants are... Where do you get the idea that the plants are whipping people? It's called vegetable blight. It's a blight that affects vegetables. That's a real thing.
Sure, I'm going to pull up. I swear to God they said that the plants were killing people.
I don't want to wait for you to look up whether or not the plants are killing people.
Well, you're going to.
God damn it.
Okay, I've pulled it up. vegetable blight attacking parks and gardens in the metropolises. Oh, no, you're right.
Thank you.
The blight is attacking the plants that are in the... Okay, I was picturing plants with big vine whips strangling people to death.
Yeah, I know you're very excited for the happening, but...
Anyway, the Ice Warrior then appears in the cubicle, and, like, he just kind of stumbles around the office as people run screaming.
Yeah.
And Radner and Eldred are just standing there watching, and the Ice Warrior is just, like, shooting people with a gun, and it's just like, Oh, no, sorry.
You are characters on the show. I will not shoot you.
And then it just leaves.
It just walks out. You can leave. If it sucks, hit the bricks. Also, Radner is like, it is immune to bullets. It cannot be killed with
oxygen. It's immune to bullets. He watches it, like, gunning down all of the guards, and they shoot it, and the bullets are just pinging off of it. Which is really funny that later he's just, like, sending more and more guards after it one by one.
He's just setting the ones he doesn't like.
They all just keep dying. And then it goes out and, oh no, sorry, the back on the moon base, it's the Ice Warrior leader is like, I have my own task to carry out, and it leaves the room, so Fushim is alone with the Ice Warrior guard, and I don't remember if that comes up again. I watched this episode all of 45 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not true, because we were recording then. Yeah. Anyway...
This is when they...
The doctor's back.
Yeah, he's back.
He's unconscious, but he's alive.
We need to reassess the situation where we need to turn the heat up, and unfortunately... This is the funniest shit. This is one of the funniest moments of the episode to me. Phipps is like, we can't get to the heating control. The opening is too small. And then Zoe says, just how small is the opening? And he just estimates, this big, one Zoe wide. And she goes, I'm that big. I can
go. And then from off screen...
Did somebody say small? Sunglasses!
Sounds like you need someone to get through a hole!
It sounds like you need somebody to beat up all the Ice Warriors. I'm so glad that Michael Cassetti gave us this job at the Transmat facility.
It's a no stop for the both of us!
So Muscles picks up Sunglasses and does the fastball special and throws him at the wheel and he turns it to very hot and then they all die because it gets really hot. I swear to God, the gauge went up to like 150 Celsius.
It was boiling inside, yeah. Zoe's gonna go. Jamie says, you can't go because you're Zoe from Doctor Who. You're a female.
You're a girl! Back on Earth, the Ice Warrior is just, like, walking through ankle-deep white slop. It looks like...
It's foam. It's bubbles. It looks like bubbles.
Like, it looks like a car wash, like, spilled soap everywhere.
Yeah.
Probably because it's probably literally just big bubbles of soap. Mm-hmm. Come to think of it, I think it might just be soap.
There's a part in, like, a few shots where there are guys who are trying to, like, clean up the soap, and they're just getting absolutely pelted in the face by just, like, foamy bubbles.
Yep. And then they're just spraying it with hoses. It's definitely just soap.
It's just soap. And then the Ice Warrior comes and he kills them all. And listen, if I'm gonna die, I might as well be having bubble fun.
Okay, this is one of the funniest parts in the episode, though.
Yeah.
First of all, Eldred and Radner are talking about the Ice Warrior.
Isn't Eldred just like, he's probably here for no reason?
No, it's Eldred. He's like, what is its purpose here? And Radner's like, purpose? What do you mean purpose?
It's probably just like, here to kill.
The alien that popped out, they sent all the pods that exploded and started killing people all over the world, and then it got out of the cubicle and went somewhere, and he's like, I don't know, it's probably just on its way to see
going for a walk.
But then the computer voice comes in and is like, the alien has not broken through the security cordon. It must still be on the grounds. Correction! Urgent message! Bodies of team at technicians found on the grounds!
I fucking love the computer voice of this episode.
So funny.
It's so funny.
Now I'm just like, that's just a guy doing a voice. Obviously, in real life, it's a guy doing a voice. But in the show, it's just a guy in the security room doing a dumb voice because he's like apologizing.
Sorry about
that. He's like
that.
Frantic.
Oops.
I'm sorry, I messed up.
We should have
confirmed information before reporting. Please do not fire me.
Yeah, Phipps is trying to re-navigate the tunnels, but he, like, once again, Why they add stakes where stakes are not needed, because he's like, I can't find the place, I'm lost, help! And then they find it, like, 5 seconds later, so why did it matter?
Well, the stakes were that he got space madness and he was about to cut Zoe's head off with an axe.
It's just so hot in there.
But yeah, the trick is, he's, like, overwhelmed. He's like, oh my god, they killed all my coworkers.
Think about fish and chips.
God. And she, think of fish and chips. And she's like, don't worry, even if you don't remember it, I've got a photographic memory, and I saw the map, and I know what directions we've taken, and I know that it's right there. And she just points, and she's like, it's right there.
It's right next to them.
It's, like, right there. If they, like, walked 5 more feet, they find it. Meanwhile, this is the part where I was like, the incompetence runs so deeper, so much deeper than the TMAT stuff.
It's right down to their brains. Everyone is sick.
Everyone's guard calls Radner and Eldred on the radio and is like, Sir, Captain Commander Radner, I'm observing one of the Ice Warriors. And the Ice Warrior, standing like 5 feet away from him, just turns and looks at him and is like, and he just dies. And Radner's like, Soldier? Soldier? Damn it. They got him.
Everybody in this episode is dumb as fuck.
It's a real shame to know that the planet survives this one, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Maybe
because these are the most useless, incompetent dipshits we've ever seen on Doctor Who.
Are we sure this isn't like Earth 2 or something? Earth 2 wacky planet?
Yeah, this is what the Doctor, Peter Capaldi, was like. There's no way that you're really Robin Hood. This must be some kind of amusement park, because this is just way too stupid to be real.
You're all too dumb. This is like where the doctor, he like loves humanity, but like he must have really had to write this one out of his brain, because if he had showed up, Jodie Whittaker, 13th Doctor, is just like, oh, you're one of those idiot humans that let the Transmat technology run the world.
Travel Mat. But no, it's yeah, whatever. I think it is, though, because like, what have we seen them do? They've got guns that all that they do is they make someone fall over. They don't shoot any sort of projectile. Their seeds of death just make a cloud of dust pop out. There's soap bubbles all over the world. This is all fake. None of this has really happened.
It's all like some kind of bad 1960s television sci-fi show or something.
Yeah, but in fiction.
Oh, okay.
The Doctor is on the set of an episode of Doctor Who.
But we're literally watching the bodies stack up 10 miles high. As they keep sending people to try to kill the Ice Warrior with the guns that they know they won't work.
This was really bothering me in like a Once Upon Time Flux style, because the computer is telling them like, I have bad news. There is no longer society. They're like, everyone's starving. The social order has broken down all across the planet. These are massive planet-wide stakes, and we've seen 10 people die, sure, but everything that really matters is happening off-screen, and they're just telling us it's happening, like when Azure was punching the passengers or whatever.
Oh my god, I fucking love that part.
So I'm just like, you're just telling me that everything is really, really bad, and you're not even like cutting in like cheap stock footage of people like screaming or something.
This is when we cut back to the moon base. This is when Zoe uses her photographic memory to remember.
One critical thing. Eldred, he figures out the secret because he looks at the map and he's like, all the TMAT centers they're sending the seeds to are in cold climates or places where it's winter right now.
Whatever
they do with that, we won't find out until next time.
We have to
never
globally warm the Earth. We have to burn all the fossil fuels as fast as we can.
Hey, look at us. It's the year 2250 or whatever, and the Ice Warriors still think that Earth is a suitable place for them to go.
Good for them. I mean, they got rid of transportation that you use team at, so sustainable. Zoe finds her way through. There she looks through the grate and there's an Ice Warrior right there, right in front of her. Oh no, how are they gonna get there? Finally, okay, this is the scene right at the end of the episode where Jamie where Kelly keeps trying to turn on the big dial that says kill all the Ice Warriors and looks back to Jamie for approval.
Okay, but the Ice Warrior walks into the solar whatever room.
Doesn't see them, even though they're right next to them. Then walks out.
It walks into the... No. It walks into the center of the room where the trap is set up, and it stands in the middle of this circle of beams. And they're, like, pushing buttons and turning dials, and they're just, like, silently mouthing to each other. They're like, what the fuck was it? It's not working. And then it just stands there, and it doesn't see either of them, even though they're literally standing right next to it, like a foot away from it on either side. But it sees the unconscious doctor, and then we cut to the next scene. So we don't know what happens yet.
The next scene is the Fushim is so tired. Killing all humanity is hard work.
Guys, we've been at this for like an hour now. I didn't get my
12 o'clock stomach filling.
Since you broke the T-Mat. Or since Osgood broke the T-Mat. Yeah, he's like, can I get some sleep and a meal, please? And then he looks over and he sees Zoe and Phipps in the hole in the wall. And they make eye contact. And he's like, oh, boy. All right. And he's like, oh, actually, and he gets up to distract the guard. He's like, I need to go fix the cubicle. Come take a look at this. And Zoe, she jumps through the hole. She sneaks over to the controls. She starts turning it. And we see the heat rising from 30 Celsius to 40 Celsius, which, again, it's now over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. And the Ice Warrior guard in the room is just like, what's going on here? It's not like, oh, no.
It's too hot.
No, like, there's no indication that 100 degrees is anything to it. But it looks over and it sees... Oh, because Phipps warns Zoe. He's like, look out, Zoe! And the Ice Warrior sees him and shoots at him. We don't know if he's okay. That's going to be a cliffhanger, which means he's okay. And then it turns and it approaches Zoe. And that's the end.
I don't want to see how this one ends. I'm bored of it. Give us something else. Let's flip a coin and let's grab this.
Do we want to give this a letter grade?
C minus.
I give it a solid C. I think it's got the fun factor, if nothing else. It's dumb as hell. It's got the funny factor. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right, I will share my screen for transparency. I'm on random.org. What kind of coin would you like me to flip today?
I would like you to flip. Let's see our options, please.
Do you want a US coin?
Give me a 100 yen coin.
All right. Sure, that's in here. It's got to be in here. I don't think it's in here.
Give me a Arkansas state quarter.
We don't have Arkansas. I'm gonna go ahead and flip a loony.
Okay.
It's Tails! We're not watching it next time!
Yay! Okay, let's randomly generate another one.
Alright, what do we got? The Mind of Evil!
The Mind of Evil!
We might be on the third Doctor?
Hmm?
Season 8, we are on the third Doctor.
Ooh, we got Manfred von Karma.
The Mind of Evil, that is the... Oh, I need to reformat this list now. The Mind of Evil, Season 8.
This is John Pertwee.
That will be the second serial of the eighth season.
Ooh, this one has the Master in it.
Or the season has the Master in it, it looks like. I don't know if this story necessarily will. So this will be the second season of the third Doctor. Damn, he got a lot. He got 5 seasons.
He was there for a while.
Do you see how fast I'm scrolling because of my fast scroll wheel? Check this out.
Whoa!
Are you impressed?
Damn! That makes it seem
but
like
But now let me hard. Switch it to loud mode.
Ooh, that's way more control. All right, well... Your contributions, listeners, can help Sam buy a better scroll wheel.
New mouse. It's a nice mouse. It's just not great for podcasting because the clicks and scrolls are so loud, which are things that I have to do while recording.
Thank you all very much for listening to this episode of the Skaro Archives. We'll see you next time, and thanks for the money, sucker!
Thanks for the money, suckers!